Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434.
Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back to Fort Worth, Texas, and the Big E Sports Show. As promised, we deliver truly the biggest names in sports, and we are certainly looking forward to our next guest, as Dan Reeves has been a part of some of the most glorious professional football teams in history. He played for Tom Landry, the Dallas Cowboys, for a total of 8 years, and he later coached the Denver Broncos, the Atlanta Falcons, to conference titles, giving him an impressive record of 9 Super Bowl appearances. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show for the very first time, NFL great Dan Reeves. Thank you for the time, Coach.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start our conversation off by talking about your upcoming visit to Fort Worth for our FCA Business Luncheon. I know Texas, it has a special place in your heart. You played for the Cowboys. This is where it all started for you in many ways, as a player and as a coach, right?
No question. 1965, a rookie with the Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, it was probably the start of a career that you know, I had no way to know that it was going to end up the way it did, and it certainly started out with a lot of apprehension because being a free agent and signing, there were about 100 of us in training camp to start out. You just don't know how that's going to turn out, but it turned out great, and I got to meet one of the greatest coaches, but also one of the greatest men, and was able to be with Coach Landry for 16 years, and I couldn't ask for anything better than that.
I'm glad you bring up Coach Landry because, of course, as you said, you know, a total of 16 years, but 8 years you played for him. So much has been documented, written about him. I mean, just a class act, a man of character, someone I would have always loved to have interviewed. Can you talk about the influence he had on you personally and professionally? Because this was a person you wanted to emulate.
No question about it. First of all, you know, just making the team with the Dallas Cowboys was a dream come true. After being starting running back, you know, in 1966, 67, and 68, I tore my knee up and really got beaten out in 1969 by a young man named Calvin Hill, who was Rookie of the Year that year. And I knew my professional career was coming to an end. And, you know, at the end of that season, Coach Landry asked me if I'd be interested in being a player coach. And I had a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Landry when I was playing for him, just the type of man he was, how he handled himself, the knowledge that he had about the game, but also the knowledge that he had about life and how he conducted himself was just, you know, something that I really marveled at. And then when I became a player coach in 1970 and was a player coach for 3 years and then 5 more years as assistant coach, I learned so much about, you know, football, but also a lot about Coach Landry and, you know, just grew to admire him even more than I did when I was just playing for him and got to know him a little bit better, and also got to know, you know, what his beliefs were and how strong a Christian he was, and, you know, how that was such a big part of his life. It, you know, it was just a thrill to be around a man like that.
You're listening to the familiar voice, Dan Reeves, NFL great, of course, coached the Denver Broncos, the New York Giants, the Atlanta Falcons. And I want to rewind a little bit. We got to brag on you a bit, Coach, here. You know, in 65, you were drafted by the Cowboys to play halfback. Over 8 seasons with the team, you collected 1,990 rushing yards, 1,693 passing yards. But as I understand, your best year, it was in 1966. Was that your most memorable year, or I'm going to assume it was when you guys won the Super Bowl in 72?
Well, I I would say as a player, 1966 was really special because I'd been a quarterback my entire career in high school and college, and to end up being the running back, the halfback on a team like the Dallas Cowboys, and we, played in a championship game that year against the Green Bay Packers for the right, really, which was would have been going to Super Bowl I. We ended up scoring 16 touchdowns, and believe me, I never, ever dreamed that would be a possibility. And just to be surrounded by guys like Don Meredith, Don Perkins, Bob Lilly, Leroy Jordan, and the list just goes on and on and on of such great players. I was just very fortunate, and I realized that, and was just so thrilled to be a part of it. So I'd say 66 from a player standpoint. When we actually won the Super Bowl, I was a player coach that year, and that was a tremendous thrill for me to be a part of it as a coach and also a part of it as a player.
And of course, in 72, when you guys did win the Super Bowl, that was against the Miami Dolphins?
Against the Miami Dolphins, correct, down in New Orleans, actually in old Tulane Stadium.
And I have to say, the first 5 years of you playing with the Cowboys, you guys definitely experienced a lot of adversity. I guess you guys were tagged or labeled as the next year's champion. My question to you is, you talk a lot about Tom Landry and what he is as far as he was a man of character, an amazing person to be around. How did he handle disappointment? Because those first 5 years that you played, you guys went through some tough stretches.
Well, it really did. In 66, like I said, we got beat by Green Bay 34-27. We had first and goal to go on a two. Had a possibility to tie that ball game, and then the next year was the Ice Bowl game when, we took the lead, early in the fourth quarter and had a chance to win that game, and Bart Starr took them down, and just an unbelievable drive to win that game, and then we lost to the Cleveland Browns in the Eastern Division championship game the next 2 years, and those were difficult losses, but I think it brought us together more as a team. And in 1970, we finally get to the Super Bowl and get beat on a last-second field goal by the Baltimore Colts. So a lot of adversity, but what it really did, from Coach Landry's standpoint, he was still the same year in and year out, always had us very well prepared. And then finally in 1972, I don't think anybody on our football team, was prouder and happier for Coach Landry. All of us were happy to win the game, but we were so happy for Coach Landry because he stood by us and, had been a big part of, all the big disappointments that we had. And for him to be the same person, year in, year out, just showed you that's the way you got to do it through all adversity. It just makes you a better man.
You bet. And, of course, as you had just said, in 72, you guys won the Super Bowl. You beat the Miami Dolphins. But was one of the greatest thrills to see Coach Landry carried off the field by his players? That's something that you always have that visual in your mind, right?
Without question. And I think all of us would have loved to have had him on our shoulders. There just wasn't enough room for all of us to carry.
That's outstanding. Hey, Dan Reeves is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We are having a compelling conversation. We are looking so forward. He's going to be right here in Fort Worth, Texas at the FCA Business Luncheon. We're going to share a little bit more about that a little bit later on. It's interesting. We had Cowboy great Cliff Harris on my program. It's been a little while, but one of the things he talked about is that it surprised him is Coach Landry, he wasn't that rah-rah kind of guy, the master motivator in the locker room. How did the legendary coach, how did he motivate his players? Can you share that with us?
Well, I think one of the greatest motivators of all is preparation. And Coach Landry believed that if you're prepared, when you go out on the field, you're not going to be surprised by anything, then you're going to, have a great chance to win the game. And, if someone's depending on you being a motivator, then, you're going to have a whole lot of ups and downs. And I think the reason we were so consistent for so many years is that we never went into a game that we weren't thoroughly prepared and had a great chance to win. And so Coach Landry, I think, had a great football mind. He had us prepared offensive and defensively. I don't know that I ever have been around a coach. I know I haven't. So much to do with both offense and defense. Usually you're one another. Like I was an offensive coach. When I became a head coach, I still worked with the offense. I had control of the defense, by hiring the people that I would like to have. But, they basically ran the defense. Coach Landry actually ran the offense and the defense for the Dallas Cowboys through the 16 years that I was there. And you just don't see many people have that much knowledge of the game.
Certainly was a hands-on guy. I love how you talk about just how competitive he was. Really, his preparation. But was he perhaps the most organized guy you've ever been around, too?
No question. Organization was a big part of it. Those are things you tried to emulate. When I became a head coach, was that we never went on a football field that we didn't know how long we were going to be out there, what we were going to be there for, what we were trying to accomplish. He was extremely organized. He always had things down to the last, you know, minute as far as our schedule was concerned, and you know, so tremendously, you know, organized person. And you mentioned he's tremendously competitive. You know, Mike Ditka and I played an awful lot of racquetball with him, an awful lot of golf with him, but you could bet as soon as the season was over, Mike and I were ready to go out and play golf. Coach Landry was going to take lessons for a month or so before he ever came out and played. He was not going to play golf with you until he knew he could compete with you.
So he would not go and tee it up until he got out there on the golf course before y'all. That's interesting. Hey, Coach Dan Reeves is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We do have to pause and recognize our premier corporate sponsor and partner, and that is the friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. You can check out their website at our website, which is eradiosports.com. You know, Coach, one of the things that you have talked about in regards to Coach Landry is just his influence on you, but also Coach Landry, his character was lived out in so many ways, and one of the greatest influences was really how he treated his wife. And for all of our lady listeners tuning in, why don't you expound a little bit on that? I think there's some great stories you can share there.
Well, there's no question that we had probably the sharpest dressed head coach in the National Football League, and without question, the best looking coach's wife in the National Football League. Alicia, you know, just had so much class, and you know, she always made the trip. She always looked so good, and you know, I think we were extremely proud, you know, that she was on the trips with us, and you know, to have on the airplane, and you know, I think it made us you know, more like gentlemen too when we traveled, because we had someone that was representing us that had so much class and so much dignity, and you know, it was just wonderful to see, you know, that with Coach Landry and Alicia.
Let's fast forward and start talking about when you became the head coach of the Denver Broncos in 1981. What kind of advice did Coach Landry give you to kind of help you? Because you were, what, only 37, 38 years old when you got your first head coaching job?
I think that's right, somewhere in that 37, 38-year-old area. Coach Landry was very direct. He said, I'm going to give you some advice. He said two things. He said, always be yourself. He said, you know, they'll pick up on somebody being a phony quicker than anything, so just be yourself, and if that's not good enough, you know, then you can live with it. But he said, just be yourself, and he said, secondly, he said, always tell the truth. He said, if you don't tell the truth, how are you going to ever remember what you said? So those are two great pieces of advice, and I, you know, thoroughly used those two things throughout my coaching career as a head coach in the National Football League.
Every coach goes through ups and downs. Did you find, Coach Reeves, that you would, you know, pick up the phone and call Tom Landry to kind of give you advice or help you through some difficult times that every coach goes through?
Well, we had that relationship that we could do that. But, you know, as you find out when you're in the National Football League, and, of course, you know, the majority of the time that I was a head coach, Coach Landry was still coaching the Dallas Cowboys, and you didn't have that, or you didn't take advantage of that because you knew he was just as busy as you were, and you didn't want to, you know, bother him with anything, but I always knew that he was there if I needed him.
Dan Reeves is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We've kind of shared about how he's impacted you in terms of your illustrious coaching career, but also an organization that was very dear to Tom Landry's heart was Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He was a huge supporter of that. Talk about how important that is to you as well. And it's not just about the athletes, but it's about, you know, influencing the coaches because they have such a huge responsibility. They're, you know, working with young, impressionable athletes, young people, and you want to mold them into a good thing.
I look back on my career and the players that I played with, the friends that I have now, they last, you know, for a lifetime. That all of us talk about it, and we were just in, you know, Dallas to honor Don Meredith just a week or so ago, and we're all, you know, it comes up all the time about what kind of influence Coach Landry was on us because of the way, you know, he led his life and, you know, how important the Fellowship of Christian Athletes was to him. I'd been involved a little bit with the FCA when I was at the University of South Carolina, and really got more involved when I came to the Dallas Cowboys because it was so important to Coach Landry. And as I said earlier, you know, I wanted to emulate a lot of things that Coach Landry did, and certainly being a part of the FCA, I honestly believe that coaches have as much influence when I look back on my life, other than my mom and dad, the people that had the most influence on me as a person and as a man, you know, were my coaches in high school, coaches in college, and then Coach Landry. So, you know, you have an opportunity there, and FCA has always given us that platform, and I've always been, you know, able to use that platform and touch, you know, at least to talk to a lot of people and hope you touch some of them's life to help them understand what being a Christian is all about. Because when you look at it, football is the ultimate team sport, and I don't think, you know, it's, you can find anybody that fits into a team sport more than a Christian, because, you know, they always look at themselves as being third. So, you know, it's always God first and, you know, others and then yourself. So, you know, if you look at it that way, you're going to be a great team player.
Throughout the years, you have had the opportunity to coach truly some of the biggest names in the NFL, but also work alongside some terrific coaches. Do you mind sharing? I mean, is there anyone that you think that you've really had a huge influence and impact on and perhaps that you stay in touch with?
Well, you know, of course, Roger Staubach, you know, I coached, actually played with him and coached, you know, he and Craig Morton. And of course, Craig was my first coach when I went to the Denver Broncos, and we were rookies together in 1965, and I ended up, you know, being, you know, coaching a guy that I was a rookie with. He was my quarterback in my first head coaching job. Two great, you know, players there. You know, John Elway, you know, my career was definitely... has a stamp of John Elway in it because we won so many games together. And
right.
You can't win in this league without a, you know, a great quarterback. And I was fortunate to have, you know, John when I was in Denver. And then, you know, when I went to New York, I had Phil Sims. And, you know, then in Atlanta, I had Chris Chandler and Mike Vick, you know, later in that career. So I've been fortunate to be around. And I played with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all, in my opinion, in Don Meredith. And, you know, Don, you know, certainly helped me become the player that I was and, you know, still a great friend, you know, today.
A name that pops into my mind, quarterback Michael Vick. You were his first NFL coach, a tremendous athlete and talent, got his life off track and went into a crisis. But are you pleased with how he's getting his life together and he's making a turnaround and a renaissance?
Well, he's got that opportunity, and, you know, that's all you want is a second chance. And Mike made some huge mistakes, and, you know, he paid dearly for them, and he has an opportunity now, and it's really left up to Mike, you know, as to what he's going to make out of that. And we've talked on several different occasions. I was able to see him play a couple times last year, and, you know, I think he has got his life going in the right direction and, you know, understands how important it is, you know, who you associate with and who you, you know, surround yourself with is very important in your life. And I think he understands that and realizes that he's got a second chance, and he's going to make the most of it.
I know there's some listeners that are tuning in today, Coach, and they're like, well, what is Coach Reeves? What is he doing now? I understand you've been working in the broadcast booth along with Bill Rosinski, and Bill's been on our show many, many times doing some radio broadcasts. Is that correct?
Yes, I did the last 3 years, and I've done CBS Radio, Westwood One, and do an NFL game each week. And, you know, and that's been a lot of fun. It keeps you in touch with the game, gets you a chance and opportunity to, you know, stay in touch with it. I still got a lot of coaches out there that I coach with that are in the National Football League. There's a few players left that, you know, I either drafted or, you know, I coached at one time that are still in the league, too, and that makes it fun.
I have to ask you, I mean, do you have aspirations to perhaps get back into coaching in some level?
Well, you know, I learned. I've been out of it now, about six or seven years. You know, as much as you would like to, you got to have somebody that wants you. And so, you know, when somebody wants me, then I'll have a chance to get back in it. You know, I have a son-in-law that's there in Dallas that's coaching with the Cowboys, and Joe DeCamillis, and, you know, keep very close touch with Joe, and, you know, was happy for the year they had this past year, and hopefully they can, you know, take it a little bit farther this next year.
And how is he doing after that incident that happened last summer?
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. You know, he's getting some physical therapy and some treatment now that, you know, has helped. It's just going to be a long, you know, process for him to go through. The nerves, you know, that he damaged, you know, with that spinal injury, that just doesn't all of a sudden come back very quickly. He still, you know, has to sleep in a chair and still has some problems with his right arm as far as the feeling. You know, it goes like asleep a lot of times. You know, but he's able to coach and do the things that he loves to do, and he knows how fortunate he is that it, you know, wasn't more serious than it was.
We're getting ready to wrap up our radio interview with Dan Reeves, NFL great, and, you know, we're talking about health. I have to ask you, you know, what was it, about 10 years ago that you had open-heart surgery? How are you? And what was amazing about that is after having that surgery, you were back on the gridiron just 5 weeks later. What did Mrs. Reeves think about all that?
Well, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago. That was 1998, so, you know, it's been about 12 going on, you know, 13 years now. And, you know, as far as I know, everything's going great. I feel good. You can't look inside and kind of see how that heart's doing. You just got to try to take care of it. And my wife does a great job of that, of hopefully fixing and getting me the right things to eat and, you know, trying to take care of myself. So hopefully it's doing well.
In our final segment, we are going to be talking some college football with head coach Gary Patterson. I have to ask you, you're a South Carolina guy. How's Steve Spurrier? How's he going to do with your team this year?
Well, we hope, you know, we'll continue to make some progress. Steve's done a great job. It's not, it's certainly not like recruiting at the University of Florida. It's a little more difficult to recruit at the University of South Carolina. I think he's done a really good job and, you know, ended on a bang last year, and hopefully, you know, continue and improve some more this year.
The Gamecocks, they're supposed to return about 17 starters. They got that nice quarterback in Steven Garcia. We'll have to keep our eye on them. But, Coach, we certainly look forward to meeting you next week, and we'll catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time and your amazing journey. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for some great questions that you asked. Looking forward to seeing you.
We're going to step aside. Head Coach Gary Patterson is going to be joining us here in just a moment. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum. And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.